Good morning, everybody. A couple of days ago, I said that we are in a make-or-break moment when it comes to America's middle class. We either have a country where everybody fends for themselves, or we create a country where everybody does their fair share, everybody's got a fair chance, and we ensure that there's fair play out there. Now, to ensure fair play, one of the things that I talked about was the importance of making sure we implement financial reform, Wall Street reform, that was passed last year. And a key component of that was making sure that we have a consumer watchdog in place who can police what mortgage brokers and payday lenders and other non-bank financial entities are able to do when it comes to consumers. This is a big deal. About one in five people use these kinds of mechanisms to finance everything from buying a house to cashing their checks. And we passed a law last year that said we need this consumer watchdog in place to make sure that people aren't taken advantage of. Now, we have nominated somebody, Richard Cordray, former Attorney General and Treasurer of Ohio, who everybody says is highly qualified. The majority of attorney generals, Republican and Democrat from across the country, have said this is somebody who can do the job with integrity, who has a tradition of being a bipartisan individual who looks out for the public interest, and is ready to go. And he actually helped set up the Consumer Finance Protection Board. This morning, Senate Republicans blocked his nomination, refusing to let the Senate even go forward with an up or down vote on Mr. Cordray. And this makes absolutely no sense. Consumers across the country understand that part of the reason we got into the final financial mess that we did was because regulators were not doing their jobs. People were not paying attention to what was happening in the housing market. People weren't paying attention to who was being taken advantage of. There were folks who were making a lot of money taking advantage of American consumers. This individual's job is to make sure that individual consumers are protected. Everybody from seniors to young people who are looking for student loans to members of our armed services who are probably more vulnerable than just about anybody when it comes to unscrupulous financial practices. There is no reason why Mr. Cordray should not be nominated and should not be confirmed by the Senate and should not be doing his job right away in order to carry out his mandate and his mission. So I just want to send a message to the Senate. We are not giving up on this. We are going to keep on going at it. We are not going to allow politics as usual on Capitol Hill to stand in the way of American consumers being protected by unscrupulous financial operators. And we're going to keep on pushing on this issue. Now, the second thing I want to make clear about is that with respect to the payroll tax, you guys have all seen our countdown clock behind us. This is about doing, making sure that everybody is doing their fair share and that the middle class does not see their taxes go up by $1,000 in 23 days. And we've heard recently some intimations from the Senate Majority Leader and from the Speaker of the House, or the Senate Minority Leader and the Speaker of the House, that they think we should do a payroll tax, but the question is, what price will they extract from the President in order to get it done? And I just want to make clear, this is not about me. They shouldn't extend the payroll tax cut for me. They shouldn't extend unemployment insurance for me. This is for 160 million people who in 23 days are going to see their taxes go up if Congress doesn't act. This is for 5 million individuals who are out there looking for a job and can't find a job right now in a tough economy, who could end up not being able to pay their bills or keep their house if Congress doesn't act. So rather than trying to figure out what can they extract politically from me in order to get this thing done, what they need to do is be focused on what's good for the economy, what's good for jobs and what's good for the American people. And I've made very clear, I do not expect Congress to go home unless the payroll tax cut is extended and unless unemployment insurance is extended. It would be wrong for families, but it would also be wrong for the economy as a whole. All right, with that, I'm going to take a couple questions. Ben.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a very busy time. If I may, I'd like to ask you about two other important issues in the news. Republican candidates have taken aim at your approach to foreign policy, particularly the Middle East and Israel, and accused you of appeasement. I wanted to get your reaction to that. And also, I'm wondering if you personally intervened in any way in halting the sale of the morning after pill to those under 17, and whether you think politics trumps science in this case.
Ask Osama bin Laden and the 22 out of 30 top al-Qaeda leaders who've been taken off the field whether I engage in appeasement or whoever's left out there. Ask them about that. With respect to the Plan B, I did not get involved in the process. This was a decision that was made by Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of HHS. I will say this, as the father of two daughters, I think it is important for us to make sure that we apply some common sense to various rules when it comes to over-the-counter medicine. And as I understand it, the reason Kathleen made this decision was she could not be confident that a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old going to a drugstore should be able, alongside bubble gum or batteries, be able to buy a medication that potentially, if not used properly, could end up having an adverse effect. And I think most parents would probably feel the same way. So the expectation here is, I think it's very important to understand that for women, for those over 17, this continues to be something that you can go in and purchase from a drugstore. It has been deemed safe by the FDA. Nobody's challenging that. When it comes to 12-year-olds or 13-year-olds, the question is, can we have confidence that they would potentially use Plan B properly? And her judgment was that there was not enough evidence that this potentially could be used improperly in a way that had adverse health effects on those young people.
You really support the decision?
I do.
Mr. President, is a recess appointment for Richard Cordray on the table, number one? And number two, the Italian Prime Minister, the new Prime Minister, indicated today he may be coming to the White House next month. Do you think he and other European leaders are stepping up in the way you've urged them to sort of clear up the debt crisis?
I will not take any options off the table when it comes to getting Richard Cordray in as director of the Consumer Finance Protection Board. And I want to repeat what I said earlier. This is a law that was passed by Congress that I signed into law that is designed solely to protect American consumers. I don't think there's any consumer out there, I don't think there's any American out there who thinks that the reason we got into the big financial mess that we did was because of too much regulation of Wall Street or the financial services industry. I take it back. I'm sure there are some folks in the financial service industry who make that argument, although I'm not sure that they make it with a straight face. Let's just take a very specific example. All the families out there who have now lost their home after having paid their mortgage over and over again because they were told that they could afford this home. They didn't understand all the documentation that was involved. This was peddled deliberately to them, even though a mortgage broker might have known that there was no way that they could keep up with these payments. And now they're out on the street because nobody was making sure that there's fair play and fair dealing in the mortgage industry. Now, why wouldn't we want to have somebody just to make sure that people are being treated fairly. You know, especially when not only is that family affected, but our whole economy is affected. This is part of what I was talking about a couple of days ago. You know, we have a Congress right now, Republicans in Congress right now, who seem to have entirely forgotten how we got into this mess. And part of the reason was because we did not empower our regulators to make sure that they were ensuring fair play. That's what the Consumer Finance Protection Board is designed to do. Yeah, we had Holly Petraeus, wife of General Petraeus, who's been working to make sure that our armed services personnel aren't taken advantage of. They get transferred to a base, and next thing they know, they're taking out loans that they think are a good deal, but it turns out that they're paying 100%, 150%, 200% interest rates. Why wouldn't we want somebody in place to make sure that doesn't happen? It doesn't make any sense. So the bottom line is, you asked about the recess appointment. We're going to look at all our options. My hope and expectation is that the Republicans who block this nomination come to their senses. And I know that some of them have made an argument, well, we just want to sort of make some modifications in the law. Well, they're free to introduce a bill and get that passed. But part of what's happened over on Capitol Hill, not just on this issue, but on every issue, is they will hold up nominations. Well-qualified judges aren't getting a vote. I've got assistant secretaries to the Treasury who get held up for no reason, just because they're trying to see if they can use that to reverse some sort of law that's already been passed. And that's part of what gets the American people so frustrated, because they don't feel like this thing is on the level.
European debt crisis, do you have any sense?
On the European debt crisis. I am obviously very concerned about what's happening in Europe. I've expressed those concerns repeatedly to President Sarkozy, Chancellor Merkel, all the key leaders involved. I think they now recognize the urgency of doing something serious and bold. The question is whether they can muster the political will to get it done. Look, Europe is wealthy enough that there's no reason why they can't solve this problem. It's not as if we're talking about some impoverished country that doesn't have any resources and is being buffeted by the world markets, and they need to come hat in hand and get help. This is Europe with some of the wealthiest countries on Earth, collectively one of the largest markets on Earth, if not the largest. And so if they muster the political will, they have the capacity to settle markets down, make sure that they are acting responsibly, and that governments like Italy are able to finance their debt. And I think that Chancellor Merkel has made some progress with other European leaders in trying to move towards a fiscal compact where everybody is playing by the same rules and nobody's acting irresponsibly. I think that's all for the good, but there's a short-term crisis that has to be resolved to make sure that markets have confidence that Europe stands behind the euro. And we're going to do everything we can to push them in a good direction on this, because it has a huge impact on what happens here in the United States. They are our largest trading partner, and we're seeing some positive signs in our economy. But if we see Europe tank, that obviously could have a big impact on our ability to generate the jobs that we need here in the United States. I'm going to answer one last question. Kristen.
Kristen, welcome. President, thank you. You just called on Congress not to leave until they resolve this issue over the payroll tax cuts and unemployment insurance benefits. Can you say definitively that you will postpone your own vacation until these two matters are resolved. And also, on Iran, we've heard some sharper language from members of your administration about Iran recently. Are you intentionally trying to ramp up the pressure on Iran? And given that you've stated that no options are off the table, should we take that to mean that you are considering some other options?
No options off the table means I'm considering all options.
Can you tell us exactly what those options might be?
No. But what I can say with respect to Iran, I think it's very important to remember, particularly given some of the political noise out there, that this administration has systematically imposed the toughest sanctions on Iraq, on Iran ever. When we came into office, the world was divided, Iran was unified and moving aggressively on its own agenda. Today, Iran is isolated and the world is unified and applying the toughest sanctions that Iran's ever experienced, and it's having an impact inside of Iran. And that's as a consequence of the extraordinary work that's been done by our national security team. Iran understands that they have a choice. They can break that isolation by acting responsibly and forswearing the development of nuclear weapons, which would still allow them to pursue peaceful nuclear power like every other country that's a member of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, or they can continue to operate in a fashion that isolates them from the entire world. And if they are pursuing nuclear weapons, then I have said very clearly that is contrary to the national security interests of the United States. It's contrary to the national security interests of our allies, including Israel. And we are going to work with the world community to prevent that. With respect to my vacation, I would not ask anybody to do something I'm not willing to do myself. So I know some of you might have been looking forward to a little sun and sand, but the bottom line is that we are going to stay here as long as it takes to make sure that the American people's taxes don't go up on January 1st, and to make sure that folks who desperately need unemployment insurance get that help. And there's absolutely no excuse for us not getting it done. Keep in mind on the payroll tax cut, this is something that Democrats and Republicans agreed to last year with little fanfare. And it was good for the economy. And independent economists estimate that for us to not extend it right now, to not extend payroll tax cut, not extend unemployment insurance, would have a significant adverse impact on our economy, right at the time when we're supposed to be growing the economy. So, you know, when I hear the Speaker or the Senate Republican leader, you know, wanting to dicker, wanting to see, you know, what can they extract from us in order to get this done, my response to them is, just do the right thing. Focus on the American people. Focus on the economy right now. I know the suggestion right now is that somehow, this Keystone issue will create jobs. That's being determined by the State Department right now, and there is a process. But here's what I know. However many jobs might be generated by a Keystone pipeline, they're going to be a lot fewer than the jobs that are created by extending the payroll tax cut and extending unemployment insurance. Get it done. And if not, you know, maybe we'll have a white Christmas here in Washington. And I look forward to spending a lot of time with you guys between now and the new year. All right? Thank you, guys.
Okay. I will engage in what I trust will be a brief briefing. I don't have any announcements.
I think we put out a trip next week, correct, to Fort Bragg, and the president looks forward to that visit, even more than he looks forward to spending a lot of time with you as we get closer and closer to Christmas. Questions?
Share the well.
Reuters.
Can I ask about Russia?
Yes, please.
Mr. Putin today was accusing the U.S. of interference in Russian affairs. I wondered what your response was to that, and you know, where concerns about the problems of elections leave the reset of U.S.-Russian relations.
Well, Secretary Clinton spoke to this issue in Brussels today. The United States and Russia have many common interests, as you've heard me discuss, and this administration has sought to develop and nurture those interests. Through engagement with the Russian government, we have advanced several of our top security and economic interests. We will continue to seek opportunities for cooperation with Russia based on mutual respect and those common interests. At the same time, we have sought to deepen our engagement with Russian society and to promote universal values. When rights are violated in Russia or in any other country, we speak out. We are going to continue to pursue both tracks of engagement in the promotion of our interests and our values. I'll go on to say that we are encouraged by President Medvedev's commitment to have the Central Election Commission investigate all election violations, and we welcome his acknowledgement that the demonstrations in Moscow and other cities are part of the democratic process. Yes?
Specifically, would the administration be willing to compromise on as it relates to the appointment?
Well, I don't think the president indicated any efforts to compromise. I think he made a very compelling case for why a law that was debated, negotiated, and passed successfully through Congress and was signed into law by this president should be implemented. As I think I said in response to Ed's question, if there are the members of Congress in the Senate and the House who have a problem with the bill, I mean, with the law as it is, and want to change it, submit a bill. Don't block it through parliamentary tactics, the implementation of the law of the land, because who loses? Not the non-financial, or rather non-bank financial institutions, the oversight of which is being held up because of the Senate Republican filibuster. The people who lose are the American consumers who engage with those non-bank financial institutions all the time, payday lenders and mortgage service providers, student loan companies, veterans. So they ought to do the right thing for American consumers. Don't do it for the president. We're not naive enough to believe that whether it's a payroll tax cut or a confirmation, they would do it for that reason, but they ought to do it because their constituents are demanding it. Brianna.
On Plan B, there are some critics in your own party who say that science lost to politics. Did this have anything to do with politics?
Well, I think the decision was Secretary Sebelius's decision. The president, as you heard, supports that decision, and I think he gave pretty compelling reasons for why he supports the decision, both as president and as a father. And then, you know, to the question of politics with regards to this or anything else, I covered politics for a long time, and I can't figure out what the right, there are politics in every issue, and there's an upside and a downside to every issue. And usually, it's hard to know in advance how these things will play out politically. Which is just another reason why decisions like these ought to be made on the merits, and that's what Secretary Sebelius did.
He framed it in terms of 11 and 13-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. The cutoff is not 13, it's 17.
The current cutoff
so
is, right.
In terms but of 16-year-old, 15-year-old girls, who studies show many of whom are sexually active and would actually have more use for the morning after mm-hmm. pill, he didn't talk about it in those terms.
No, he didn't, but the decision that the Secretary made was to say yes to or say no to the allowing of any girl of any age, or younger girls included, not just 16-year-olds, but it would have resulted in allowing, as the president said, somebody to buy it along with batteries and bubble gum. So a 9, 10, 11-year-old. That was the decision that Secretary Sebelius faced. Bill.
Was there any reaction to the stiff sentence handed down to former Governor Blagojevich?
I have not heard him discuss that. So I know he didn't respond to your question, so I don't know if he has a reaction.
Can I ask why you think, the president comes in, makes what he believes is a compelling case, mm-hmm. that Republicans are blocking this person who would really help middle-class Americans.
Right? You believe it too, Ed. Come on.
Of course I believe it as well. In all seriousness, why is it not breaking through then? Let's forget about the Republican leadership, people like Senator McConnell who have been opposed to the president on a lot of things. Susan Collins, you're targeting her mm-hmm. in a way by reaching out to the media in Maine. You've made this big PR blitz all week, what you've billed as, we're really going to pressure people on the fence on this. And people like Susan Collins have heard the president's case, and they just say, no, I don't agree.
Well, you make a good point that this club of Republicans in the Congress are sometimes at odds not just with the president but with overwhelming majority public opinion for things that this president also happens to support. So I think that if there were a referendum or plebiscite in Maine, I feel pretty confident that Democrats, independents, and Republicans would support the confirmation of a consumer watchdog whose job it is to look out in Washington for their interests in their dealings with financial institutions. As the president said, there's this amnesia about what happened just a few years ago and how it happened and who got left holding the bag. So, that's a discussion that maybe you or your colleagues should have with Senator Collins or the other senators who unfortunately did not do the right thing today. But we hope, given the opportunity, they'll do the right thing on another day.
But doesn't it say something about his use of the bully pulpit, that he's trying this and it's not working with people in the middle?
We live in a challenging political environment. There's no question. But in the end, everyone here, the president, vice president, and every member of Congress, answers to their constituents. And on every measure of the American Jobs Act, and including the payroll tax cut extension and expansion, there is overwhelming public support, Democratic, independent, Republican support. And referring to the payroll tax cut extension, I just we may be here through Christmas, but it would take an awful lot of chutzpah as well as perhaps political courage to go home if you're a senator or a congressman and answer the question, why did you vote to raise my taxes on January 1st? Ben, you thought better of it.
I'm amending my remarks, based on what you said there. I was thinking about the payroll tax. The president said yesterday that if it comes to him attached with extraneous issues, not related to making sure that American people's taxes don't go up, it's not something he's going to accept. I'm just trying to get clarity on that. You would accept it if it's attached to issues like unemployment insurance and the dock fix, right? Things you want.
Well, I think that extraneous is something you know when you see. And clearly, unemployment insurance is very much an element of the same kind of proposal that payroll tax cut extension and expansion is, and it goes directly to assisting Americans make ends meet, and it has extremely positive impacts on the economy, on economic growth and job creation. The Keystone Project is being reviewed in a process that was established through many decades of precedent at the State Department. It is being reviewed in a way that allows and has allowed for substantial public comment as well as input from agencies across the government. And it is being reviewed in a way that takes into consideration the criteria that you've heard the President himself lay out as the most important criteria to be considered. That process needs to be allowed to be pursued. And the State Department has said that that would take a certain amount of time, and that's what should happen. It should not be, as the President said, a situation where leaders in Congress, Republican leaders in Congress, should be bargaining on for political priorities in exchange for giving this president the payroll tax cut. Whatever happened to Republicans being for tax cuts? Is it because this one goes to 160 million Americans, middle class working Americans, that they're ambivalent or they're willing to oppose it if they don't get some political scalp? Is it because President Obama supports it or Democrats support it? It's confusing to me, and I think it's confusing to a lot of people, and based on the data I've seen, it's confusing to a lot of Americans. So no extraneous attachments.
Would that cover, for example, some of these environmental issues besides Keystone that Republicans are pushing? That'd be extraneous.
Besides Keystone, I think it's likely that something like that would be extraneous. I don't want to negotiate from here. Keystone is clearly extraneous. Laura.
Thanks. You've said that it was Kathleen Sebelius' decision on Plan B. Mm-hmm. We also heard the President's views on the subject. Did he or anybody else in the White House communicate his views to her before she made the decision?
It is certainly, broadly speaking, I don't know with regard to this specific issue, but it's broadly the case that there is communication between agencies and the White House on matters like these and decisions that are made at those agencies like the Department of Health and Human Services or other departments. But in this case, as the President said, he had no involvement in the process. He supports the decision, and it was very much Kathleen Sebelius' decision.
Did anybody, I understand you're saying it was her decision, but there are lots of ways that you can come to a decision.
Well,
if I could just finish
sure.
the question. You can come to a decision, for instance, after speaking with somebody at the White House mm-hmm. who advises that for any number of reasons, this is something that the White House would prefer. And putting the President himself aside, did anybody
in
the White House communicate that to?
The implication in your question is that Kathleen Sebelius doesn't support this decision. I think you ought to ask her, because she does, and she made it. There is communication between the White House and agencies in a decision-making process like this, but the decision is made by the Secretary in this case, and it was made by Secretary Sebelius. The President had no involvement in that, as he just said, and this was her decision, and I think she put out a statement explaining it. The President supports it.
I've been in Washington a while, long enough to see cabinet secretaries make decisions that they don't personally agree with. I don't know what mm-hmm. is in the mind of Kathleen Sebelius. I'm just asking whether there was any influence on the part of the White House staff in her coming to that conclusion.
No. Again, there was communication, but the implication of your question is that influence to get her to change her mind, this was her decision. She made it, and she clearly supports it as articulated in her statement. Yes, Peter.
Jay, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee this morning said he wants to see work product from Elena Kagan before it became clear that she was under consideration for the Supreme Court. Does the President support, is there any reason the President feels that those documents should not be turned over in that 2-month time frame? And does he feel that she retains her impartiality in the health care case?
Justice Kagan was confirmed bipartisan support to the Supreme Court. Went through the usual thorough confirmation process. I would point you to the statement by the President Bush's former Attorney General on this matter and his views on whether or not there's an issue here. We agree with him. Yes, John Christopher.
Yeah, I have another Plan B question, but this is
sure.
a fiscal one. To follow up on what the President said earlier regarding the Eurozone, does the administration have a plan B to protect the U.S. economy if its European leaders do not reach an agreement, a debt agreement, tomorrow in Brussels, especially now that S&P is threatening to downgrade all of Europe?
He's focused on his plan A, which is passage of the payroll tax cut extension and expansion, passage of extension of unemployment insurance, passage, if members of Congress come to their senses, of the other elements of the American Jobs Act. He will not relent just because there is political opposition. And as he made clear here, he will stay as long as it takes in Washington to make sure that Congress doesn't allow 160 million Americans to experience a tax cut next year.
And that will have on what's going on in Europe tomorrow during this debate.
Well, you asked what his plan B was for the American economy, and as I've said and he has said in the past, and Secretary Geithner, is you focus on the things you can control. You obviously engage on the issues that are not entirely in our control, like Europe. That's why Secretary Geithner is in Europe this week, why President Obama is in frequent communication with his counterparts in Europe, especially Chancellor Merkel and President Sarkozy, as he mentioned today. But you need to buy that insurance, if you will, for your own economy, for the American economy, by taking the decisive action that you can take through Congress and outside of Congress that can help buffer the American economy and protect it from the kinds of shocks that happen inevitably in the global economy, whether it's the situation in Europe or earthquake and tsunami in Japan or unrest in the Middle East that affects oil prices. Those are the kinds of things that are not entirely in our control and that we need to insure against. That's why it is so essential that we take the measures we can take to ensure that we continue to recover from the worst recession since the Great Depression. That's why we need to put $1,550 in the pockets of the average American family next year, and why we need to make sure that those 5 million folks who are looking for work continue to get the kind of assistance they need. Lady, all the way in back. Yeah.
Yeah. Leaders in Pakistan have been talking about new terms of engagement with the U.S. Have they given you any indication of what these new terms of engagement with the U.S. is going to be, and how is it going to be different from the present one?
Not that I'm aware of, but as you know, we have regular contacts with the Pakistani government, but I don't have any new information on those consultations. Okay.
Would charge higher fees to lenders by Fannie and Freddie, which would eventually lead to higher interest rates for borrowers. So wouldn't that eventually come down to hurting the middle class in the end? And then also, I wondered if you had any reaction to Governor Perry's ad vowing to end Obama's war on religion.
I don't have any reaction on what sounds like well, I don't have any reaction. And,
that's a reaction. It's quite a reaction.
As for the Senate Democratic bill, you mean the new payroll tax cut bill? We support it. The president's put forward his preferred pay fors. Senate Democrats have come forward with alternative pay fors now twice, and we support those measures. I don't have anything specific for you on that. I mean, this administration has made clear its views on winding down, or is that the correct language, on reforming Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So I just don't have a lot of specifics with regards to that provision for you.
It would end up eventually hitting the middle class.
Well, again, I think that's in a vacuum, perhaps, but there are a lot of other moving pieces with regards to those institutions. Yes?
Do you have any reaction?
Scott. Go ahead. No, you first. Sorry, okay. Jennifer.
Do you have any reaction to Mitt Romney specifically calling out the president's vacation as the evidence of his lack of hands-on, that the only thing he's hands-on with is his golf club, and that that if he were president, he would take a much shorter vacation, which seems to kind of be what's likely to happen considering what's happening on the Hill, but still, you know, this attack coming from Mitt Romney.
I would just refer you to what the president said about the possibility of a holiday vacation for him, and the, I guess, increasing likelihood that it will be shorter than anticipated, because he is absolutely committed to working with Congress, as well as perhaps forcing Congress to stay here to get the absolutely necessary work it needs to get done, done. I have to say, because this is obviously criticism of the president for whom I work, that I don't remember Governor Romney having a hard time or complaining about this president's predecessor taking his family on vacation, spending, I believe, far more time on vacation than this president. So, but you never know what he might have said, so you might want to go check it. Andrei Sitov.
Thank you, Jay, and thank you for your comment on this Russian situation. I must say that the actual comments from my country's leaders are also much more balanced than they are depicted in the U.S.
I think we just we just commended President Medvedev for the statements he made.
When you actually read what they said, other than what's reported. But he did make an interesting observation. I mean, Putin, in this case, when he was talking to his supporters, he was responding to questions. And many of those questions were about, see, the Americans keep trying to influence our internal politics, keep spending money on it, which is true, because I asked Mark Toner the other day at the State Department. He gave me a figure of $9 million. That the U.S. spent on supporting the process of elections.
We support democracy.
Right. And Putin actually said that it's much higher than that. It's hundreds of millions. So I don't know where he gets that figure, but it doesn't strike me as impossible either.
Is there a question?
Yeah. The question is, is it worth it? Why do we want to do this if this provokes this sort of reaction throughout the world? I mean, you are speaking out, that's understandable. But actually spending money on this, like I asked you yesterday about this.
Again, I'm going to find a question in there and respond to it. The State Department has long history of engagement with countries around the world in the democratic process. It should not come as a surprise to anyone that we, the United States of America, support democracy for everyone around the world, and that we have made clear in our improved relationship with Russia the importance of our common interests, the successes that I know you've reported on and everyone here has reported on that we have had working with Russia on a number of important issues, but we also have sought to deepen our engagement with Russian society and promote universal values, and we will continue to do that. I think that is that both of those pursuits can proceed and be complementary.
What's closer to the truth, the 9 million or the 100?
Again, I would take the State Department's word for it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Can I get you back?
Oh, and then I said Scott, but yes, go ahead. No, you're next, and Scott.
Take a shot in the Middle East again, because the president was asked about easement, which has sure made headlines in terms of his response, and he had took some heat from Republicans yesterday on Israel. Secretary Panetta's remark last week about Israel just needing to get to the damn table, does that pretty much sum up?
First of all, I will say that was a reported remark from a private meeting, as I understand it, and. If you're asking me in general, is our view that both sides need to get to the table, the answer is yes. We support direct negotiations between the Palestinians and the Israelis. We've made that abundantly clear. We support steps taken by both sides that make that more likely, and we oppose steps taken by either side that make it less likely, that make it harder to accomplish.
Is that remark kind of over the-
Again, I'm not going to comment on a remark. I wasn't there. I'm not sure it's true as reported. So. But broadly speaking, do we want Palestinians and Israelis to engage in negotiations and to reach a lasting peace deal that ensures Palestinian sovereignty and Israeli security? We do. Thanks very much. Oh, Scott, sorry. I have a short-term member loss.
The president talked about how the FDA recommendation would have put Plan B on the, made it as accessible as bubble gum. So Tylenol and cold medicine are also sold alongside bubble gum. Does the administration believe that emergency contraceptive, because of its function, is in a different category than those other OTC medicines?
Well, I think I'm not going to elaborate on what the president said. I think he was fairly clear, and on the more specific evaluations of this, I would point you to Secretary Sebelius's letter. So I don't have any more guidance for you than that. Thanks.